Spring turkey season is upon us, and don't be caught out in the woods without having Onyx Hunt on your phone. One feature Onyx has that is often overlooked for turkey hunting is their recent imagery filter with their elite memberships. This imagery is updated week to week, and it comes in extremely handy, especially when you're trying to find these gobble zones where these turkeys will go out in a high spot on a fresh clear cut and strut around all day long. Actually, I was just looking at it on Onyx where the timber company just came into Andrew's Club and did a very small clear cut along this creek. And I can see the high spots on the topographical map, but also I can see exactly where they mulch. And those are going to be hot spots for finding gobblers, especially mid-morning after they get off their hens, getting up on these little high spots in this fresh, small clear cut along the creek and strutting and gobbling all day long. If you want to give Onyx a try, you can actually download it for free, try it for 7 days. And if you decide to purchase, you can use the promo code Southern and save on your premium and elite memberships. So going into this turkey season, know where you stand with Onyx. Well, guys, we have some exciting news for you from Vortex about their brand new eyewear, their Banshee and Jackal sunglasses. Me and Andrew have had these for a few weeks now, right before the release, and we've been extremely impressed. They're awesome glasses, guys. And listen, if you're needing some new sunglasses, not only do they have the VIP warranty, but they're tough as crap, guys. Scratch-resistant eyewear, it's extremely important. And also, they have safety features as well. So when you're out shooting at the range, again, these are rated glasses, so you are going to be more than protected when you're at the range. But they also look fantastic when you're out around town. So right now, Vortex has some special pricing on their website, which is vortexoptics.com for the new eyewear. But also, if you use the code SOUTHERN20, you get to save even more on this special pricing for right now at vortexoptics.com. Again, check out the new eyewear from vortexoptics.com and use the promo code SOUTHERN20 to save on their brand new eyewear.
If you live in the Gulf Coast region, you need to find yourself at the EcoWild Expo May 10th through the 12th in Mobile. It is the premier outdoor expo for the Gulf Coast region, and we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth. We're super excited about it. Can't wait to meet you guys that live down there. We absolutely love the Gulf Coast region, so to be a part of this show, we're super excited about. We're going to have past podcast guests there at our booth for you to talk to, guys who are relevant for your area, who you can talk to, you can pick their brain, you can joke with them, laugh with them, tell them your story, whatever you want to do. It's going to be awesome time. We're already working on some past podcast guests, but hey, if you live in this area and you have a suggestion for someone you want to see at that show, write in and we'll see if we can get them. There's going to be all kinds of exhibitors at the show that are focused on hunting, fishing, conservation, and recreation. There's going to be activities for the whole family there. They got axe throwing, archery. They're going to have our podcast booth. And then for the kids, they got touch tanks, a honeybee exhibition, a raptor show, kids fishing tank, BB gun range, and a butterfly house. So you're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. It's going to be an awesome time. So head on over to EcoWildExpo.com to get more information on the show and to go ahead and grab your tickets. And hey, mark it on your calendar. May 10th through the 12th. Be there. We want to see you and we're excited to talk to you. So we'll see you at the EcoWild Expo this May 10th through the 12th at the Mobile Convention Center in Mobile, Alabama. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast. Welcome back into this outro edition. So we wanted to do a little something different for this outro right here. A couple weeks ago, we actually recorded a little bit of an episode with our buddy Kevin Tullis, who y'all have heard on the show a couple different times now. We're always talking about deer hunting. But Kevin is also a huge hog hunter and a very successful one at that. He really does good on a lot of WMAs and national forests around here in Alabama that you are able to hog hunt on. And this is a little bonus episode that we actually recorded with him talking all about hog hunting, and we kind of get into some funny stories. It's a real laid-back episode. We all kind of tell our funniest hog hunting stories and our funniest run-ins with hogs. Then Kevin also goes over a little bit of tactics. He talks about how to target hogs, where to look for them, transition areas, you know, finding them in places that you wouldn't normally expect. Really, really informative episode. I definitely learned a lot from it. We recorded this and released it to our paying subscribers. So our Patreon members and our Apple subscribers have already heard this. This already went live. It's been live on those platforms for a couple weeks now, and we decided to put a sample of it out there for all y'all to hear.
If you want the full version of this podcast to get the entire thing and all the different subjects that we talked about, make sure that you go join our Patreon or you subscribe via Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you'll get a lot more bonus content like this, as well as ad-free content. So every episode of the show that you get will be ad-free. And then, of course, there's also Patreon. You can go join over on Patreon, and there's even more bonus content, including bonus videos that don't get posted anywhere else, and you get early access to our YouTube videos that we've been posting. Over the past couple weeks, we've obviously done a lot of like mountain hunting stuff. We've been talking to a lot of mountain hunters. We've got a lot of flatlanders coming up too. So for you guys who hunt flatlands, don't despair. We got some good information coming your way. But if you do hunt the hills and you're interested in that kind of thing, we just released a YouTube video that details not only slope angle shading and a lot of what Chuck Young was talking about, but it's also a scouting video where we go out and we look at bluffs and find a bluff gap. And I really wanted to bring that up because so many of you guys over the years have written in about bluff gaps because it's kind of a regional term. Maybe you've never heard of a bluff gap before, so you don't really know what it looks like. Well, in this video, we just so happened to run across a really, really, really good example of a bluff gap, and we were able to document it and film it and really get a good visual of what a bluff gap actually looks like. And we also show you what it looks like on the map and everything. So that is actually live right now on our YouTube channel. So you can go and view that anytime. Of course, Patreon members got early access to that video, but now it's live for everybody else to see as well. So make sure you all go check that out. We've also got some other cool videos coming up, and we're going to do some stuff for the Flatland guys as well. We got a lot of big things planned. You know, you guys have heard us talking about video content for quite a while now and wanting to get back into it. And honestly, we've gotten a lot of requests from you listeners about video content, really wanting us to ramp that back up. And I'll just say we've made a lot of big investments into that lately, and we're continuing to do so. So we're really going to double down on that video content. We're really, really excited about it. And we appreciate you guys and all the support that you give us listening to this show. It makes all that stuff possible, and especially our paying subscribers via Apple and Patreon. They're the ones that make those videos possible. So we really want to say, you know, thanks to those guys. And if you want to see more of that video content coming up here in the future, then go subscribe on one of those platforms. You'll be directly supporting us and making it possible for us to do that kind of thing. So the whole video world is definitely not cheap, but we're excited about it and we're getting into it pretty hard here. And we got some really fun stuff that we're filming here in the next 2 weeks that I think y'all are going to really, really, really enjoy. But without further ado, I'm going to kick it over to this segment of our bonus episode with Mr. Kevin Tullis. Hope y'all enjoy. Houndstooth Game Calls is your home for turkey calls this spring. Go check them out. They got all the classic turkey calls. You know, they got the pot calls and the box calls and the mouth calls, but they also got a couple really interesting calls. One of them is called the success call, and you just need to go look it up. It's like a box call that you can work with one hand. It's really, really cool. Sounds incredible. They also got the Spurmaster, which is another very unique call that you can get some really unique, clean tones out of. They're going to help you out this turkey season. Use the promo code SOP20 to get 15% off of your order at Houndstooth Game Calls. That's SOP24. Use it at checkout. It helps the podcast.
TruLock Chokes has been made in Georgia since 1981 and offering a wide range of chokes, over 2,000 different chokes for all kinds of shooting activities. You might be wondering why you'd want to purchase a TruLock choke, and it's to improve your shotgun performance. Absolutely guaranteed. And as a great example, we have Andrew Maxwell here. And Andrew, you've had some pretty good luck, again, kind of switching out chokes and trying out the Precision Hunter choke from TruLock. So, Andrew, what's been your experience so far?
Yeah, I've used the same choke for several years now. I never really thought much of it, and I got the TruLock choke in. I patterned my gun with the first choke at 30 and 50, and then I switched to the TruLock and changed from 30 to 50. And the 50-yard pattern on my gun with the TruLock choke is unbelievable. Like, everybody's jaws were dropping. Like, when we were out there with Mike and Sam, we were all super impressed. I mean, it's throwing a better pattern at 50 now than it was throwing at 40 before my old choke.
And Andrew, you're shooting the Precision Hunter choke from TruLock. It's a great option. Same chokes I have in my shotgun. So guys, if you want to give TruLock a shot this spring, you can head over to TruLockChokes.com. That's TruLockChokes.com. You can also use the promo code Southern at checkout at TruLockChokes.com and save 10% on your order. Again, give TruLock a shot this spring, especially if you're not happy with the performance of your shotgun, and shoot with a more deadly pattern with TruLock.
you know, if you hunt on imaginary, you have to hunt with the weapon the season's in. So during September, squirrel season opens up earlier now than what it used to a long time ago. So I'd rather use a 22 mag and go squirrel hunting on imaginary because you can't use a high-fired rifle. And a 22 mag's perfect. I mean, I've shot some and not see the pig real good, especially a big pig, and you can shoot it in the back hip and just break it down. And it ain't going far with one of its back legs broke down. And then you can get up there closer and shoot it in the head if you ain't got a real good shot, because I've done that before. But it's mainly on imaginary. You got to hunt with the weapon that the season's in. And I have better luck during squirrel season because you can figure out where the hogs are getting on fresh hickory nuts dropping and acorn and stuff like that than I can after deer season goes out.
Okay. So I want to kind of, now that we're getting more into the tactic driven part of this podcast, I want to kind of go back to where we started this. And you're talking about hunting in early squirrel season, you know, that season comes in and all of a sudden you can take a 22 out there and you can actually start targeting these things. And it's early September. Do you find them just really sucked into very specific areas that time of year with how hot it is? Or are they just kind of always in those areas all year round?
Well, the way I found these places is during deer season, hunting specific spot, deer hunting. But you'd be sitting there in the tree and all of a sudden, you know, you see these hogs just kind of coming through funneling. Well, it's like you just go back to the same places that you've seen hogs that ain't being pushed by somebody, but just in their natural routines, the way they travel through areas.
Okay. And are they pretty much always really sucked up against some, like, real swampy stuff, or do they get up in the hills a lot, too?
Well, I mean, most of these places, I kill them during September, and a lot of people always laugh at me because they go, man, I've been down there in them swamps. Well, everywhere I'm hunting high ground. I mean, a long ways away from water. But they're thickets that runs to the swamp. Say you find a small cut over with pine trees and stuff, and it may be 15 foot tall or something, but there's old logging roads that go through them pines, and you'll find a hog waller on that road, old logging road.
Mm-hmm.
Them hogs use them wallers from going from one swamp and on their travel path to another swamp. They'll use them wallers to cool off. So a lot of times they'll cool off, you know, in them pines or something like that where it's thick. And then say they come out of that swamp at night, they come up there and bed up and sleep in the morning. And then about midday, they'll get up and leave that and go on over the hill and go to another swamp. It may be a mile away, but you'll find them wallers, you know, like where they make them old logging roads and they cut them down to where they won't wash out and then hold water. Well, they'll stay in them areas and they may travel a mile all the way through them high grounds to go there. But if you find them areas like that that's repeated every year, the hogs are in it. Most time they're going to travel through there. And if you find acorn trees on them high ground somewhere in a saddle or something, them pigs is going to eat them acorns constantly every year. Same place.
Okay. When it comes to those wallows you're talking about, you know, like a wild hog, he can't sweat like us and he can't pant like a dog, I guess. So he's got to wallow in the mud to stay cool. The time of year we're talking about hunting, I mean, September is a very, very hot month here in the South. I don't know, you know, I'm sure we got some northern listeners, but September is pretty much just as bad as August, except for at night. Are the wallows, because it's so hot that time of year, something that you're keying in on and hunting?
Well, it's kind of like that, because you'll find them and you'll go, okay, they're leaving that swamp. And you got wallers on the way through the higher ground to where they can cool off before they get to that next swamp. So they're repeatedly coming through them certain areas. If you find them hog wallers like that on high ground, you know that is a travel pattern, the way them hogs travel. And I you know, it took me a long time to figure that out. But after I started finding them, and then I seen hogs travel through there, and I'm going, okay, they got different places they can cool off to get to the next area.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a key end point there. If you can find that, and then you find feed trees on the way, well, they're going to travel through there.
Okay. Where do you find that they bed down? Are they bedding down, like, in the high country, like, where they're up in the hills near those wallows? Or are they trying to bed more in the swamps, and then midday they're getting up and leaving one swamp and going to another one?
Well, I found beds where they even raise piglets in the swamps, like in cane thickets and stuff. And you can see where the mama would come up there and eat all the canes down and strip them down and make a bed where all the little babies stay. But now I have found them on higher ground, but it's just a pattern. You don't ever know. They move a lot through them areas, so they got different places they bed. I found them on high grounds where they just got up there and rooted out pine straw under pine trees and bedded up. But it's on the travel pattern from one area to another area is usually where I find all them signs at.
So, Kevin, one thing you mentioned a little bit earlier in this podcast was, you know, you're kind of keying in on these areas, like these travel corridors, where they're coming up out of a swamp, going over like these big ridge systems and dropping back into another swamp, and you're trying to catch them right there in the middle. And you're saying a lot of times you'll find these swamps where there's like a thick drainage coming out of the swamp that they're kind of using as a path of travel. They'll come up through a saddle, you know, they'll feed on some of those oaks as they're going up, and then they'll drop back at the other side, go back through a thick drainage, and go back to the swamp. And one thing that you're kind of keying on to confirm those pigs are there is not only the feed side, not only the tracks, but it's really the wallows. And I didn't know about that, about the wallows, and like that's where you can kind of key in that, hey, they're spending time up here at a higher elevation because they have to have that water to cool off. And you kind of like almost following the wallows, almost like a scrape line for the rut.
Yes.
We're like, hey, if I follow the wallow, like I can figure out the path of travel of these pigs, kind of like a scrape line, kind of like a rub line, whatever, for deer hunting. And you kind of get an idea of path of travel as well. So that's something super, super interesting that I didn't realize. I didn't even know that. That's super interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't sweat. And if it's real hot, you know, they got to have a place to cool off. So, yeah, if you can find, you know, old logging roads, they love to run logging roads because there's always places that's going to hold water. And that's why they use them, because there's always a certain place they can waller in the mud and cool off on their way to somewhere else. It's just it's like you say, it's sort of like a straight line. But they're going to travel that, and if you sit there long enough, you know, over a few days, you'll see them come through. My luck is always the middle part of the day from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock.
So I want to talk about that midday hunting a little bit more. But so it sounds like your main tactic is going to be feed trees. You're looking for those feed trees. Can you talk about what that hog sign looks like to make you want to sit on a feed tree? I mean, like, I'm sure rooting and stuff, but can you explain what it's like when you find a tree where you're like, okay, this is where I'm going to set up and try to kill a hog?
Well, you know, if you find the wallers and some maybe heavy trail with hog tracks in it going to where the feed trees are, but you'll find, like, a lot of times you'll find a hickory nuts kind of start dropping early if you have a dry summer, and they'll be just green, still on the ground. Them is probably some red oaks or white oaks start dropping. You'll find them pigs are keying in on acorns, you know, nut trees, first when they start falling. And once they find them trees that start falling, they're going to come by through there on a pretty regular basis to eat them quick. I mean, they'll beat deer to them trees for anything. But it's usually always in a drainage or across a saddle that leads to a swamp is where I usually find that. But usually the ground will be tore up like crap, or either you'll see hog mess all over the place under them trees. And most time, if it's a big group, most time when you walk in there and see that, you'll smell them. Mm. I mean, it stinks.
Kevin, one thing that I'm curious about, especially hunting as early as squirrel season opens in September in Alabama specifically, is do you ever see them feeding on, is there ever persimmon trees dropping at that time of the year, or pretty much all those dropped out by then?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times cinnamon trees fall before our bow season get here. It's corn how dry it is a lot of times when they drop. But yes, they will feed on them too. Any kind of stuff like that, they're going to key in on that drastic quick.
So it sounds like kind of midday hours, you're setting up and you're wanting to hunt a travel corridor with wallows and feed trees on it. When it comes to actually hunting those areas, though, when kind of the rubber meets the road, are you setting up and like getting in a stand and hunting it, or a ground blind, or are you kind of slip hunting, going from tree to tree, just trying to find the hogs?
Well, a lot's got to do with, a lot of times, you know, if I don't know an area or something, I think, you know, I've seen hogs or something in there, I will just walk and just slip hunt through there. But now there are certain key areas I go that I won't even walk in there to maybe 10 o'clock and just sit down. And I'm just sitting up against the tree up high ground and wait for them. And my buddy couldn't ever believe that. And I said, well, come on, we'll go. And I took him a couple times and he was like, my God, you was right, man. Here they come. You know, he couldn't believe it. And he goes, it's freaking 90 degrees out here. And I go, yeah. And I said, midday. And I said, they're moving, right? And he goes, everybody told me they ain't going to move in this heat. And I'm like, yeah, they're wrong.
Kevin, I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I almost see is like, this could be almost a tactic, I feel like, for hogs. If you found like an area where like, hey, they're already spent some time there, but you wanted to almost like make it even better, like, you know, guys, deer hunting, they're making mock, they'll do mock scrapes and stuff like that. What about putting in a mock wallow where you went in there and like, you know, you kind of, you know, if there's not already a wallow there, you just make it a little bit better for them. Make them hold a little more time, or, you know, hold there a little bit longer. I don't know. It's kind of thinking outside the box here, you know.
Well, I ain't never tried that one, but, you know, that it might work. I mean, I ain't never tried that part, but.
That sounds like going into the woods and digging a hole. That doesn't sound very fun.
Hey, you know, if you get some bacon off, well, not bacon, but, you know, you get some smoked hams off of it, it don't matter. Hey, by the way, that brings up something. Well, actually. Well, I want to talk to you about the eating side, because, Kevin, I'm guessing you kill as many hogs as you do. I'm guessing you like to eat them?
Yeah, I eat all of them.
So Angel, what other questions do you have? Because I want to talk about some of the cooking.
We can get into the cooking for sure.
What is kind of like your field care? Like, when you kill a hog, especially when it's that hot, like, how do you go about preparing in the field to, like, get it back to the truck? And then, like, what's the process like when you get it home?
Well, the first thing, you know, if it's a male, if that hog is over, I'll say 225 pounds, you might as well get it. Just throw it away. A lot of people say, you know, that's too big. Now, I've killed some that weigh about 200 pounds. As long as you kill it, right when you kill it, you cut it, gut it, and get as much meat as you can and get it as quick as you can to the truck and put it in the cooler on ice. That's my thing. Now, sow, it don't really matter, but a boar, if the boar is over 225 pound, I you know, if you want the skull, get it, and I'll leave the rest, because it's going to stink to high heaven when you cook it. Small ones, yeah, they're nice, because they're a lot easier to get out of the woods, but most time, I just take garbage bags with me, kill it, cut what I can meat off of it, put it in the garbage bag, put it in the backpack, and I'm gone. Straight to the truck all night. You got to be pretty quick, because it is hot that time of the year.
So if you're doing that, so say you kill, I want to kind of go through two different situations here. Like, say you kill when it's like, say, anywhere between 40 to like 80 pounds, and then you kill when it's like, say, you know, 110 to 160. On both standpoints, like, say you kill them one shot, they drop, whatever, like pretty easy, like headshot. What is kind of like your take on, what kind of meat do you like to take off? Is it the back straps? Is it the hindquarters? Inner loins? Like, kind of what's your take on that when it comes to, like, what you're going to try to get off the pig?
But a lot of it has got to do with how nasty the hog is. You know, if it's just stinking the high heaven and all, I'll usually take a knife, cut it right down the back, skin all the skin off the side, get the tenderloins out, back strap, front shoulders, hind quarters. But now, a lot of times when you kill sows down there, if it's got a bunch of little ones, or say it dropped a bunch of little ones, it got bred right back when it come in heat. I've seen them pigs to where there's no meat on them. I've seen back straps on a sow one time that was a half-inch thick. That was it. It was skin and bone. Them, you know, you're lucky if you even get any back strap or front shoulders. You might get a hind quarter, torn out big deal. You just have to kind of look at the pig and get what you can off of it, the salvage, and then leave it.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned that, because that big sow that I shot on Uchi Creek, you know, I killed her mid-February, and like I said, she had all those little ones with her, and she was nursing and everything, and man, her back straps, you could almost hold them up and see through them. I mean, there was nothing to them. Compared
they're skin and bone.
Yeah, compared to a big old boar that my buddy Colton shot in August one time, that thing, dude, I mean, he was beefed up. I mean, we got a lot. We ate that thing for like a year, our first year in college. I mean, we were eating on that pig for a long time. but yeah, that sow that I shot, she was like that. She was worn down, I guess, from nursing and doing whatever hogs do that time of year. She just didn't have much on her.
But, you know, the sows, you know, they get, say they have like 8 piglets or 10. They get sucked down so quick, they can't eat enough to produce everything it needs for the little ones and them. And then as soon as she comes in heat, she gets bred right back. Well, she's going through pregnancy, and she's still raising a litter of pigs. So they lose all of their meat, basically, on their whole body almost. I've seen them where they're just skin and bone.
Yeah, and to contrast that, one time we were down in the Black Belt of Alabama hunting a WMA down there, and a couple friends of mine, this was again in, this was late January, I guess, a couple buddies of mine had shot a great big sow, a really nice sow, and they didn't want her. They were kind of new hunters, and they didn't want her. And so me and my buddy Zach took it, and we were cutting it up at the campground. And this is a big sow, and she was pregnant, and she had a whole bunch of little pigs in her stomach. She was getting ready to give birth to, but in her pregnancy, she got so fat. I mean, she had like an inch and a half of fat on her back. And we ended up taking that fat and rendering it out and just making lard with it. And it was some of the best stuff you ever cooked with, man. So, I mean, it varies so much hog to hog. That's really interesting, though. I'd never really put it together in my head like that. But some of them, it's like the best fattened thing you've ever had. And then other ones, it's just, like you said, skin and bones, man.
Kevin, do you feel like the ones that are more skin and bones, do they have a different taste or like flavor profile versus the ones that are more healthy, you could say?
Well, it's corn how you cook it, or if you just grind it up in sausage, you know.
That's true.
I ain't going to say there's a whole lot of difference. It's just you don't get as much meat off of one that's skin and bone like that, because you look at it and you're going, my God, there ain't even nothing here worth eating salvaging. So you're just like, well, I just cut that and that's a loss and go on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. Well, do you have anything else on meat care, Andrew?
I mean, it sounds like the main thing, especially in that September time frame or just warm months in general, when you kill it, either get the guts out or get the meat off the carcass as fast as you can and get it on ice.
Yeah, I mean, you got a limited time there to get it done. I mean, you know, it's that hot. You got to be quick about it.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that segment of our bonus episode with Mr. Kevin Tullis. If you want that full episode, you can head on over to patreon.com/thesouthernoutdoorsman, or just hit the link in the description and go hit up our Patreon and join it there. You'll gain access to that. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, you can actually subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and you will get that episode along with all of our other bonus episodes. We also do a thing called our In the Field series, and I know that some of y'all already know about this, but in case you haven't noticed it or seen it or anything, our In the Field series is just another bonus episode that we've been doing where Jacob and I actually bring our little field recorder out in the woods with us and record as we are scouting. And so you get kind of like the banter back and forth of, you know, us giving each other crap about this or that. But also you get to hear us kind of talking through things in the field as we're seeing them. So, you know, often we will record a podcast and have like some subject that we talk about on like a Monday episode, and we'll go out into the field and try to implement that. And that In the Field podcast is the recording of that happening in real time. So you get to hear us when we're out in the woods and we're like, okay, what does this mean? What does that mean? And kind of hear us think through it. And it's just, it's really just an entertaining type thing, but I think you'll also get something from it because there's something to, you know, learning along with somebody, and we're absolutely learning along with you guys on all this stuff. I mean, we're not the best hunters by any means, and we're still learning from every guest that we have on. So the In the Field podcast is kind of an implementation of that. So I think you guys would really enjoy it. Go check those out if you haven't already. And we appreciate you guys listening to this one. I will say stay tuned for Monday's episode because I think you guys are really, really, really going to like this one. Highly recommended guest. Don't miss out on it. Be looking for it Monday. We appreciate the support, everybody. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast. Hey, y'all stay southern.
Look, last summer, y'all heard us talk a bunch about the Mobile Hunters Expo. It was an incredible event. A bunch of you guys came out to meet us. We got to talk to, I don't even know how many listeners. If you heard all that last year and you're like, dang, that sounded cool, I should have went to that. Here's your chance. You need to make it to this one. It's June 28th through June 30th in Dalton, Georgia. All right, giving you a heads up here, so go ahead and mark it on your calendar. June 28th through June 30th, Dalton, Georgia is going to be the 2024 Mobile Hunters Expo. We're going to be there. A bunch of our past podcast guests are going to be there. There's going to be seminars. All of the mobile hunting companies are going to be there for you to try out gear before you buy it. It's like the one event of the year where all of the mobile hunter ecosystem just kind of congregates in one place. And Chris and Josh and the guys have done an absolutely phenomenal job putting this thing together over the last couple years. And it keeps getting better every year. So like I said, make sure you come see us. We're going to have a gigantic stack of free stickers to give away to every listener that stops by the booth. And we're going to have merch there to purchase. We're going to be recording podcasts, shooting videos, all kinds of stuff. So like I said, don't miss it. You can head on over to themobilehuntersexpo.com to look at show schedules and dates and go ahead and grab your tickets. So y'all go check it out at themobilehuntersexpo.com.